Welcome to the podcast. My name is Richard, and this is the first ever episode on the new Exotic Pet Collective podcast. I guess that's what we're going to call it. That might change in the future. Today's episode is brought to you by me. It's thetarantulacollective.com. It's my website, and there is a whole list of tarantula dealers and exotic pet dealers, reptile dealers from all over the world. You'll also find a lot of helpful resources like other podcasts, YouTube channels, magazines, websites, not to mention the whole list of supplies. Pretty much everything that you'll need in the tarantula hobby, you can find on my website. So go check that out. Today being the first episode, I actually had a friend of mine that was going to be coming on doing an interview, but he lives like 4 hours away and something came up last moment. He wasn't able to make the trip out here. So I'm just going to fly solo on this one. But in the future, I'm hoping this podcast will have a lot of different interviews. That'll kind of be the style, but we'll see how it goes. But today what I wanted to talk about is how the tarantula hobby is changing. Now, I know some of you are very new, but others, maybe you've been around for a lot longer and you've noticed some of the changes, especially in the past year or two. Now, I think when I started out about 20 years ago, I got my first tarantula because essentially it was the only type of pet that I could have in my college dorm. And this is like in 2000. I was a freshman. I wanted to get over my fear of spiders. I also was kind of like this punk rock grunge kid at this liberal arts school full of all these rich yuppies. And I wanted to stick out. I wanted to be different. And I thought that would, there was a lot of different reasons that kind of led me to getting a pet tarantula. But when I got it, I was the only person I knew that had a tarantula. Like even going back into high school and stuff like that, I just didn't know anyone that kept tarantulas. When I went to the pet store and saw they had some for sale, it kind of shocked me. But then, when I had that tarantula in my dorm room, people thought I was weird because they had never heard of anyone keeping a tarantula either. And I look on, well, I didn't really go online because at that time, back in 2000, there may have been websites available that had care and husbandry advice, but it wasn't something that I was aware of. Pretty much we used the internet to submit papers and play StarCraft, Warcraft, something like that. So I didn't go online looking, but I did go to the library and found a few books that kind of broke down care and husbandry, but a lot of them were from like the 80s and 90s. There wasn't anything really current, and I trusted the books, so I didn't think too much of it. And over the years, you start to learn basically by trial and error how to take care of these species. But even with that, I still didn't know what I know now. And the information just wasn't available. So, the introduction of Facebook groups and Instagram and, all these different social media platforms, it's really given us the ability to create this tarantula community to share some very helpful information and our experiences and a lot of different things to help each other and help the hobby grow itself. We're taking care of the tarantulas better than probably ever before in history. We know a lot more. We're able to pass this information along very easily. And we've come to this kind of point here recently where there seems to be a conflict between, the more experienced tarantula keepers that have been in the hobby for a long time and this influx of new tarantula keepers. When you go to these Facebook groups or message boards and stuff like that, you see a lot of trolling, a lot of criticism. People are asking for help, and the people that have the experience, not everybody, but there is a good majority of people that are quick to make a joke or to criticize and almost harass other new keepers that are simply, maybe it's a stupid question. It's a very simple question. I mean, I get it. I like a joke as much as the next guy. So, I'm not saying we can't have fun and make jokes and, just enjoy ourselves online. That's not what I'm saying. I just think that maybe as a community, we're not thinking this through very well. There kind of seems to be this hipster mentality. I know I'm guilty of it myself, where it's, you kind of feel like, well, I like tarantulas before they were cool. You're just jumping on a bandwagon. And the reality is it's not even really a bandwagon. It's good for a community to grow for a lot of reasons. If we can reach a wider audience, we'll kind of normalize keeping tarantulas, which, maybe the opposite of what some of us want. We want it to be different and to look cool. And maybe keeping tarantulas is kind of like part of our personality, something that sets us apart. And we don't really want, teeny bopping teenage girls keeping tarantulas because that will somehow affect our street cred or make us look less cool. But the reality is the more people that are into tarantulas, the more tarantulas are going to be available. And there's also this huge notion somehow that the commercialization of tarantula keeping is bad. You see a lot of people that are upset when a company they think is charging too much for a tarantula enclosure, or they're charging too much for tarantulas, or they're mad at a YouTuber or a podcaster or somebody that makes, you know, magazines for tarantulas or books. You know, if they're selling advertisements or they're running ads on their channel, all of a sudden they're a sellout and they don't have the hobby's best interest in mind. Personally, I am of the exact opposite. I think that, well, I know that creating content is very expensive. You know, I've got, you know, my camera is, the camera itself costs about $1,400. Lenses are anywhere between like 300 to, you know, you spend as much as $2,000-$3,000 on a lens. As consumers, we want high quality content. We want stuff that we enjoy watching or enjoy listening to or enjoy reading. But in the tarantula hobby, there seems to be this cognitive dissonance where I want these things, but I don't want to pay for them. And not only do I not want to pay for them, I want them to not even have any ads. I don't want them to make any profit because this is a hobby and we shouldn't be making profit in a hobby. When that has never applied to any hobby anywhere. I mean, there are literally hobby stores that people make their living, you know, selling supplies for all kinds of different hobbies. So because maybe in the past it was just a small community where people were breeding and selling tarantulas just because they enjoyed it and to propagate the species and, you know, keep this kind of grassroots small little niche, you know, thriving, and that can't be sustainable. It's not going to last forever. You know, breeding tarantulas is extremely difficult. You know, I mean, not so much the actual act of the breeding, but taking care of all those spiderlings, packing them up and sending them, feeding them. I mean, it's not something that I have any interest in doing. I mean, just the few scorpions that I sold, I sent most of them to a dealer, and just that was overwhelming for me. Like it gave me a new appreciation for the people that make their living, you know, or maybe it's just a side hustle selling tarantulas. Like that's a lot of work. just packing them up is a lot of work. But, you know, checking the temperatures, and I couldn't even imagine if I was sending out 10, 12 or 20 orders a day. Like I would go crazy. It's very time consuming and you really have to have a passion to do it. The thing is, it is time consuming. So having a passion isn't enough. You also have to at least make enough money for it to be sustainable. So when I see people complaining about the prices of tarantulas, in my mind, I know that, you know, they're not doing this just to make money, because that is not a good, like I've looked at it. I've written out business plans. I've tried to figure out if that would be a possible, you know, employment opportunity for me. And I looked at what the profit margins would be, what tarantulas cost wholesale, how much it costs to ship, all the supplies that you need to, you know, the husbandry to take care of them while you have them in stock, you know, let alone packing and shipping them. I mean, it's not the business I'm in, so I don't have the exact numbers, but just looking at it, it didn't seem like the return on investment was all that great. So I really believe that no matter what country these dealers are in, they're doing it because they love tarantulas. They love what they're doing. And they're just trying to make enough money to continue doing that and have some kind of life. Like, I don't see any tarantula dealers driving around in Ferraris. I mean, at least not in the U.S. I don't think anybody's getting dirty rich from this. But yet, as a community, sometimes we still complain about the prices, thinking that, you know, the people are trying to rip us off. When we don't even know all of the costs that go into it. We don't know how much it costs to import these species. I mean, there's lawyers. There's all kinds of different things, different hoops that you have to jump through, different red tape to go through just to import species from one country to another. And now more than ever, it really seems like the Fish and Wildlife Service is cracking down and really kind of giving us a hard time when it comes to bringing in new species. So that it's an expensive endeavor and it's a whole lot of work. So the commercialization, I believe, is actually a good thing. If we can get more people to become dealers and breeders full-time, where they can sustain some semblance of a life and have some sort of income from doing what they love that's benefiting the hobby, you know, it's going to benefit all of us. That means more people will be breeding, so there'll be a lot more inventory, not to mention a lot more species. You know, it's kind of, it's basically what our society is based on. It's that capitalism, you know, free market kind of idea. Yeah, with the more dealers, the more variety, that means there'll be more competition in between these businesses. So, you know, the prices will go lower and lower. I mean, it won't happen immediately, but the more people you have breeding a species and trying to sell it, you know, the lower that price will be. And the supply and demand is going to determine a lot of that. And right now, the supply is low. The demand is growing, but there's not as many available species, you know, or amount of the species that are hot at the moment because nobody's breeding. They're only importing them. Or if they are breeding, there's only one or two people that, you know, are producing an egg sac a year. So it just out of necessity, the price has got to be a little bit higher because it all kind of trickles downhill. But if we can create a community that supports these people and are willing to pay the price, it's really going to drive competition and it's going to create incentives to breed these tarantulas more often because people are going to breed them. You know, maybe people aren't breeding them because they don't know if they'll actually be able to sell them. They don't want to get stuck holding all these little spiderlings. I couldn't imagine if I like bred a Nandu chromatis or an LP and had hundreds or thousands of babies and no dealers would touch them. I just was stuck with them all. Like, I mean, what are you going to give them away? I mean, it's a difficult situation. So if we have established retailers out there that are willing to buy these spiderlings from breeders, then maybe that'll encourage people to breed more. And if you're only, you know, if it's a Nandu chromatis and you're only going to give somebody 50 cents a sling, they're probably not going to breed that spiderling until the price on that goes up. They're going to focus on other species. And that will give us all a lot more accessibility. We'll have the availability of many different species at our fingertips. We could just order at any time. And I think overall, that's good. That's good for everybody. Where I think this whole kind of community or this whole situation goes wrong is the dealers are fighting with each other. Like you see that a lot on especially Facebook. Different dealers are trying to one-up each other or are encouraging people to not buy from this person but buy from me. And Facebook groups are doing that. I've even been involved in some of that. it's a crappy situation. It's just politics. It's like red or blue, left or right. Do you like this dealer or that dealer? And if you buy from this dealer, then you can't buy from that dealer because they're not friends. And really, the issue is they're fighting over the same customer base. They're squabbling over who's going to get more of the existing customers. When I think in reality, the best thing to do would be focusing on converting new customers and growing your customer base. Instead of fighting over the few thousand people in your country that are buying tarantulas, try to find people that are, you know, buying mantises or snakes or geckos or some other kind of reptile. Like they're already interested in exotic pets and convert them into tarantula customers. And really the only way that I think that they would be able to do that, this is kind of where it comes full circle, is if these dealers, they want to have more accessibility, they want to have more species, they want to have lower prices, they want to have more sales so they get more profits to kind of keep everything moving smoothly, is they need to advertise. And right now, like the only advertising I see the majority of these dealers doing is Facebook posts, like not even like sponsored ads. Like they're not buying ads on Facebook. They're just, you know, going around and posting their websites or their tarantula availabilities on different Facebook groups. And that's effective and it's cheap. Like I get that, but it's also, you know, the algorithms are very difficult to understand. There's a possibility that you're making a post that's not getting seen by a majority of the people in that group. You're not getting the reach you want. And if you're buying ads on Facebook or Instagram or one of these other social media platforms, really all you're doing is making the billionaires richer. You know, you're giving them money and it may be effective. It may convert a few sales, but for it to be a successful ad campaign, essentially what they're going to do is target it to the people that already are into tarantulas as an interest, which makes sense unless you're trying to grow your business and introduce the tarantulas to new people. So I think like one of the best ways for companies to reach new customers and not just like, you know, people that maybe haven't heard of them or just haven't bought from it. But I mean, like people that don't own tarantulas that, you know, maybe have snakes or maybe don't have any exotic pets at all. But for some reason, they're fascinated or have like a small interest, you know, in tarantulas or, you know, whatever it is. And of course, I have like a personal stake in this. So, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But this is just my perspective and what I see and what I think would help the tarantula community or any exotic pet community, really. But you got to support the creators in the community. I mean, there are artists out there that are drawing tarantulas. They're not just drawing and selling those pieces of artwork to people that keep tarantulas. Like they're expand, like they're putting it on Etsy. They're putting it out where anybody that likes art is going to see tarantulas. You know, you could help sponsor an artist. You could sponsor a YouTube channel. Like I see that a lot. People are, even YouTubers are complaining that channels are selling out because they're running paid advertisements. You know, you watch a YouTube channel. If you don't have YouTube Red, you're watching an ad for some stupid, you know, app or some stupid mobile game that is ridiculous and not related. But, you know, it's kind of what it's YouTube's business model. So you're going to watch an ad pretty much no matter what. But if somebody runs an ad that's tarantula related, people kind of lose their mind. Not everybody, but some people do. I see it a lot. I mean, I run ads. Like, I am not ashamed to say that. Making content is freaking expensive. Like, the cameras are expensive. The lights are expensive. The mics are expensive. The editing software is expensive. Getting music license is expensive. And not even just complaining about the price of the equipment, just the time that you have to spend making content. I know that for me, if I make a 10-minute video, I'm spending probably 10 to 12 hours making it. Yeah, I mean, that's writing the script, that's shooting the B-roll, that's, you know, filming the A-roll, which is just like the talking head stuff. And then you got to audio engineer, you got to set up lights and break down lights and set up cameras. And it's, you know, and then you get into editing, and then that's a whole other world on its own. Like that's a skill in and of itself. But even the people that are just making, you know, videos on their cell phones, that it takes a lot of time. And I think that we see the finished product of a podcast or a YouTube video or a magazine or something like that. And, you know, it's that kind of mentality that if I could consume it in 10 minutes, it probably didn't take them that long to make. When the higher the quality, the more time it's going to take. And just like breeding tarantulas, it's not sustainable unless there's some kind of profit that's coming in. You know, if I have to at least cover my costs, you know, partially even. Like when I first started, it was I would make a video and would maybe just from YouTube ads, I'd make like $5 on that video in 30 days. Not to mention that just one graphic that I used, I had to buy from Adobe, and that cost me $20, you know, and then you know, all the other lights and the investment of everything that I needed to make that one video it far outweighed what profit I got from just the ad revenue generated by YouTube. So when you reach out to tarantula dealers or people that make enclosures, or pretty much anybody that's in the tarantula hobby that's trying to reach tarantula customers, and they're willing to give you $100 to mention their business in their video, it makes a world of a difference. You know, it would take me a year of people watching a video to generate $100 in income, and just to kind of get that little influx of cash, it keeps me motivated. It keeps other tarantula YouTubers motivated. People that make magazines like the Spinneret, it's a great tarantula magazine. And I know she runs ads in there. I like to buy an ad in her magazine pretty much anytime I can. But not because I even think it's going to convert people to watching my channel or going to my website, but I really appreciate what she's doing. And I think that having a magazine for tarantula keepers is a good thing. I think that it really kind of helps round out the entire hobby. So I will buy an ad every month or however often she asked if I want to run an ad. I always try to say yes because I want to support her. I want to support the Spinneret magazine and I want to see it grow because as the hobby grows, more people are going to be interested in reading that kind of information on that type of platform. Not everybody's into podcasts. Not everybody's into, you know, watching YouTube videos. We all kind of have our preferred medium. And I think it's important to kind of have a tarantula presence on as many forms of media that we can. And the benefit of advertising with creators, I think, is that you're hitting not just your audience that you want to target, that people that keep tarantulas, but you're also getting people that are interested in keeping tarantulas. People, you know, I know on my channel, I have a lot of people that leave comments that don't own any tarantulas, but they're considering getting one. You know, so having an ad running for a tarantula dealer is very beneficial for both the dealer and for this viewer. But it's not just that. It's that there are a lot of people that watch YouTube videos about tarantulas. I mean, like, look at Exotic's Lair or Dark Den, or even like my channel or Tarantula Cat's channel. They don't even really have any interest in getting a tarantula. They enjoy the personality of the person that they're watching. And maybe they don't know, you know, how to get a tarantula, or they think that they can only get it from a pet store. And they start seeing us doing unboxings, like, oh, they're getting tarantulas in the mail. How do I do that? Where can I get it? Like, that's a valuable situation for somebody that's trying to create a business, you know, that, of breeding or selling tarantulas. So I think that we shouldn't be criticizing these different creators because they're running ads. I think that that's not only beneficial for the creator and keeps that situation viable for them so they can continue to create content and continue to grow in quality, but it also is good for the dealers because that's going to generate more revenue for them. They'll be able to make more money. And if they're able to make more money, then that means they'll have some they can reinvest into their business, which means they'll be breeding more, they'll be importing more, they'll have a wider variety of species, and they'll be able to offer those species at lower prices, which, it like, come full circle again, is good for the hobby. It's good for the people out there that are buying the tarantulas, because now they have more accessibility to more species at lower prices. So instead of not wanting to advertise, whether we're a business and we think that it's a waste of money and these people should just be mentioning our business out of the kindness of their hearts to support us. Like, I love that one. You know, I appreciate when people send me stuff in the mail, you know, like they're sending me free tarantulas or free enclosures, or, you know, ZooMed sent me some stuff, and it's helpful. It's beneficial. But, you know, as things grow and move forward, there's a saying, is the juice worth the squeeze? That's something I have to ask myself a whole lot. You know, what that means is this free item they're giving me worth the hassle and the time that's going to take to promote that business? I mean, when you take into consideration, like in a video, I mean, especially when you get into getting paid for ads, if a company gives me $100 to mention their business in a video, someone sends me a $5 tarantula, is it really that beneficial? You know, it's nice of them to do that, but how is that sustainable? How could I move forward? How can I charge one guy $100 for a mention in a video, and then essentially another guy gives me like $10 worth of product and gets the same level of attention in a video? So when you take that into consideration, it creates this expectation. Just because you send a creator something, and the larger the creator, the less likely this is going to, you know, be an option. You know, you send somebody with 500 subscribers a tarantula, they're going to make multiple videos on that, bring it up all the time. You send someone like Exotic Slayer, or, you know, a YouTube channel with 1 million+ subscribers, a free $20 tarantula, do you really even think that warrants a mention when considering that, you know, they're making a ton of money? I guess what I'm trying to say is free stuff is great, but it doesn't pay the bills. You know, free tarantulas, free enclosures, free substrate is awesome. It's helpful. It's useful. If somebody gives that to me, I'm definitely going to mention it and thank them. But advertising is what makes content possible. It's what gives creators the ability to invest in new cameras, to invest in better editing equipment, to invest in courses to learn how to edit better, learn how to set up lights, learn how to record audio. It gives them better access to better art supplies. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different mediums that would benefit from different businesses related to tarantulas advertising on their tarantula content. And those content creators would, you know, benefit from the advertisements as well. So it's a win-win situation when you really start to think about it. Maybe win-win-win. Because the creators are going to win, the businesses are going to win, and the customers, the hobby in general, is going to win. Because the better the content, the better it's going to reach new potential customers, new potential hobbyists, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't mean for this podcast to become like a business lesson. It's not about capitalism, and I understand that. That's why I tried to preface it with that I think that we're looking at it wrong in a lot of ways. We shouldn't be criticizing people that are running ads on their YouTube channel. We shouldn't be criticizing people that are trying to attract more viewers or more listeners or more readers. You may see that as selling out. You may see it as, you know, it's not in line with your hipster mentality or your, I don't even know what to call it. you think that it should all be free and it should all be good for the people and it should be for the good of the hobby. But what I'm arguing is this is good for the hobby. In fact, it's a lot better for the hobby than putting out just kind of simple, basic content that's boring and it is not attractive. Because if your content's not attractive and not interesting and engaging, it's not going to keep viewers' attention. It's not going to keep listeners' attention. People aren't going to pay $5 to read your magazine if it looks like crap and doesn't have anything interesting in to read. And if you don't have new people coming onto the platform, you know, whether it's your YouTube channel or your Facebook group or following you on Instagram, if you're not attracting new people, then you're not really... I don't want to say preaching, but that's the word I'm going to use, where you're not really preaching the amazing aspects of a hobby to a wider audience, to people that may really enjoy keeping tarantulas or snakes or mantises, millipedes, centipedes, you know, whatever it is. So, I mean, the more sales equal more profit, which equals more incentive for people to breed more species. It will create more competition among the dealers, which in turn is lower prices for everybody else. So I guess the whole point of this, what I'm trying to say is that instead of fighting each other and tearing each other down, we should be supporting creators and businesses. You know, at our Facebook groups, they're all different. I mean, there's all kinds of Facebook groups for all kinds of different people. And they're all based in appreciation for tarantulas. You know, some groups are more focused on just education. Some are more focused on promoting YouTube channels or whatever different type of creator thing they've got going on there. Some are just trying to sell tarantulas. You know, it's a business that is creating a Facebook page. You know, all these groups are beneficial, but for some reason, they don't like each other. And not all of them, but you see that a lot. There's a competition. And the reality is there's no competition at all. You don't have to like leave one group to join another group. You can be a member of as many groups as you want. The competition, whether it's a Facebook group, an Instagram page, or a YouTube channel, you're only competing with yourself as far as like the creator aspect goes. If you're producing a higher quality content for the people in your group or for the people on your page, there's going to be more interaction. They're going to enjoy visiting it more often. They'll be more engaged and then they'll see more of your stuff. And we need to support and encourage new keepers. It's fun to troll. It's fun to make jokes. And, you know, maybe we are doing it with the best intentions. We think we're funny and we think that a wisecrack is going to make us look cool or sound funny or be impressive. And, you know, sometimes it does. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I enjoy a joke more than, you know, anybody, but I have to also kind of balance the realization that not everybody has my sense of humor. My wife says it's a very dark sense of humor. So, and I know it is. But I have to conduct myself, especially in my own Facebook group, in a manner that is inviting, is helpful. You know, I'm there to educate and inform and not criticize and tear down. So somebody may ask a very dumb question. My favorite is they asked me to do a video covering the care and husbandry of a species that I've already done a video on. So I feel like you are asking me to do something I've already done, which means you didn't even look. You didn't, before you asked me a question, you wanted me to take time out of my day to respond to you. You didn't even have the basic, you know, consideration to just do a quick search and see if it's already happened. But, you know, I let that go. You know, I'll Google it or I'll search for it. I'll send you the link because what good is criticizing somebody really going to do? You know, it's just going to turn them off. It's not just turn them off to me. It could turn them off to the hobby in general. And, you know, it's a fine line. I think that you got to walk a lot of times. You know, you don't want to put up with, you know, bullshit, but, you know, you got to be helpful. Like, I believe so. I believe you got to be welcoming and helpful and encourage new keepers, encourage other creators that are, you know, whether they're, no matter what they're doing, if they're an artist or a musician or they're doing podcasts or channels, whatever it is, I want to encourage all those people because the broader our base, the more YouTube channels and magazines and podcasts and whatever different venue you want to do content on tarantulas. The more that there are, the more breeders there are, the more tarantula dealers there are. I mean, that's a wider base. And the wider that base, if you think of it like a pyramid, the wider the base, the higher the point of success. So I believe that, you know, and not just success for the business or the channel, I think success for the hobby in general. You know, the more people we have putting out content about tarantulas and the more businesses we have advertising on those platforms about tarantulas, the more people are reaching about how great the tarantula hobby is, how easy they are to take care of, how amazing and interesting they are to watch. I mean, all the benefits of keeping tarantulas. Like that's my favorite pet to have. It's, you know, I've got snakes, I've got geckos, I've got all kinds of different inverts. Well, scorpions are quickly starting to battle tarantulas, but if I'm honest, I still think tarantulas are much better as far as, you know, pets. They're a lot, you can see them a lot more is the main reason. And scorpions are, they can be a little reclusive sometimes, not all of them, but I think that in general, tarantulas are the number one, with scorpions definitely a number two. And because they're so easy to take care of and they're so fascinating. And yeah, they have such a stigma of being dangerous or dark or evil or, you know, whatever it is people's minds think when they think of spiders and scorpions and even snakes and other reptiles. But you see the snake hobby just blowing up. You see geckos and reptiles are just socially acceptable, and there's tons of creators on those types of species. There's tons of businesses selling them. And I guess what I'm saying is that tarantulas and scorpions can be the same as that. You know, they can be just as socially acceptable. They can be just as successful as snakes and other reptiles. And pretty much the only one that's holding us back from achieving that is ourselves. It's this mentality that it shouldn't be commercialized at all, that no one should be generating any profit off the hobby. You know, I mean, if your hobby is model trains, you're going to a model train store and you're paying full retail for model train supplies. And the guy that runs that store is making a living. And the businesses that create those supplies for model trains, they're making a very good living. And the same goes for whether you're into crocheting or painting or carpentry, like whatever it is, you're to do your hobby, you've got to rely on businesses that are going to make money from selling you the supplies that you need for that hobby. And it should be the same type of mentality for tarantulas. We should be willing to pay the fair market price for a tarantula or an enclosure or whatever it is we need, and stop. We just got to let go of this idea that everybody in the tarantula hobby that's trying to sell something should be doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Like this altruism that exists nowhere probably in the world, really, to be honest. But we expect it out of our dealers. We think people should breed and sell at cost. If somebody's got the only species, like there's a species that isn't available in the country at all, and they jump through all the hoops to bring that in, we think that they should not charge more than what they had to pay per species. I mean, forget the fact that they had to pay for lawyers and they have to house them and they had to create over a long period of time the relationships that are needed to even have access to that species or to even be able to import them into the country. Like, we just disregard all of that hard work and all of that effort and demand that we're sold these things at cost. Like, that's ludicrous to me. And every time I see someone say that, it hurts my head. I'm like, where do you come up with these ideas? I mean, car dealerships aren't selling you cars at cost. Musicians aren't selling you their music at cost. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But we think because we've been in the tarantula hobby for a while, and it used to be that way back in the day, that, you know, the businesses are coming in and capitalism is destroying the hobby. When, I mean, to be honest, it's the exact opposite. I mean, let's just be real. It didn't grow because people were selling tarantulas at cost. That's not why it happened. It's growing because you've got people that are actually taking that leap of faith and starting a business to sell tarantulas so that they can generate a profit to continue to do what they love. And that's making a lot more species available to all of us. And it's driving up a lot more interest in the hobby. And you've got people creating content about tarantulas. And like, I'm seriously considering taking that leap of quitting my job and doing this tarantula content creation thing full time. It's a scary proposition because, I mean, in reality, it would be less than half what I make right now, but it's something I'm passionate about. It's something that I enjoy. And I wouldn't be able to do it without running ads on my YouTube videos and without accepting paid sponsorships from people that sell enclosures or sell tarantulas. I mean, it's written on the wall. This is happening. Like, we got to just kind of accept it. ZooMed or Zilla, like, they're starting to, I think it was Zilla. They're starting to create enclosures specifically for inverts. I mean, they're advertising. Oh, ZooMed's doing it as well. They got their creature enclosure line. They're creating all types of things that you need just to keep inverts. You know, there's enclosures for mantises and for beetles and for tarantulas. And it's the first steps in this becoming more mainstream. And of course, they're screwing it up. Like, you know, you got people creating products that don't really keep tarantulas and just kind of have like a basic idea of what they need. So they're not really like tapping into the tarantula hobby to find out exactly what is best. But I mean, these are like the first generation of these supplies. And I think that, that as they grow, I mean, if people are buying them and sending feedback like, hey, this is cool that you're doing it, but it would be better if it had this type of lid, or if it was sealed here, the air ventilation was here. And, you know, we're giving that feedback and supporting then they're going to come out with new versions and new products. And it's a international corporation, but they are doing something for the hobby that's going to benefit us. I mean, making enclosures is stupid expensive when you're talking about, like, you know, putting the acrylic and everything together. It's a lot of work as well. Like, I mean, it's a $2 AMAC box from the Container Store will do you well for spiderlings and juveniles, but you get into, you know, large adult enclosures, that stuff can get very expensive, you know? So that a large corporation, you know, or I don't even know if I should say they're a large corporation, but compared to like mom and pop stores, that they're doing big things. The fact that they're making enclosures for inverts, I think is a big sign that the tarantula hobby and the invert hobby and the exotic pet hobby is growing. It's changing, and not everybody likes it. And I understand people are resistant to change. They're resistant to growth. They were a big fish in small ponds, and now that pond is growing, and other fish are starting to catch up to them in size. And, you know, it's I understand the fear. I understand the defensiveness. But I'm saying that if you really love the hobby, in my opinion, you should be embracing these types of changes, not fighting them, not criticizing people, because all that does is, It's just starting to make you look bad instead of, you know, whatever your intent is. You know, life is change. That's just a reality that we all kind of have to accept. And we either grow or we get left behind. And, you know, I want to grow. I want you all to grow. And if we really love keeping tarantulas, if we really love tarantulas, then we really need to be supporting the tarantula hobby in all of its different aspects, whether that's listening to podcasts like this, and there's other podcasts out there. Tom Moran has a good podcast, Tarantula Cat and Bird Spider CH, I believe have a good podcast. I hope I got that right. But yeah, there's not just support the stuff that's going on now. Like, I mean, get out there and create something. Start your own YouTube channel, start your own blog, start your own podcast, you know, create a magazine, a Facebook group, whatever it is. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Stop sitting around complaining about the content or the groups that other people are making. And if you don't like it, do your own, you know, contribute. Don't just retract or detract. Yeah, detract. That's the word I'm looking for. Don't be a problem. Be a solution. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. anyways, that's pretty much all I was wanting to say. And I'll step off my soapbox now. And I promise that in the future, the podcast will they're going to be more interview oriented. I want to get people in from essentially tarantula breeders. I want to get other podcasters, other YouTube creators, artists. I've got some interviews lined up with researchers and scientists, psychologists. Like, I've got a wide variety of people that I'll be interviewing on this podcast. So you don't have to just listen to me pontificate about stuff I don't know anything about. But I think this is something that needed to be said. It's something that's been on my mind for a while. And, you know, I understand people want to criticize, especially creators, because there's some bad creators out there. Like, I get it. But there's a lot of good creators out there, and you don't have to buy their merchandise or buy their tarantulas or their enclosures. But, you know, if somebody's creating stuff, just something as simple as clicking a like button. Like, it costs you nothing. It means the world to the creator, and it really helps kind of push their content further out into the space. It blows my mind that, you know, somebody can work, you know, for hours and hours on something, and somebody that says they like tarantulas will come on there and just start talking shit, or, you know, disliking it, which dislikes are the best on YouTube, by the way. And just a little insider secret. The YouTube algorithm does not care if it's a like or a dislike. What they care about is interaction. So you can go through and dislike every video that you want, and all that does is feed that algorithm that this content is good enough to elicit a reaction and engagement, so we should push that out to more people. So, you know, I love getting dislikes on my video, because it's like, well, the worst thing they could have done was to just like watch 2 minutes of the video and turn it off. But they took the time to watch that entire video and hit that dislike button. And that helps me way more than it hurts. But yeah, just simple things like that. Support creators, support artists. Jeez, there's so many great artists out there, you know, buy some art. And sometimes it's ridiculously expensive. I get it. But, you know, sometimes there's some available that's reasonable, and it's great. It's a great way to just kind of help grow the hobby. So if you want to hear more podcasts, not just me complaining, but if you want to hear more, and not just tarantula related stuff either, I'm talking to some people that breed isopods, that breed centipedes. We're gonna get some snake people on here. Pretty much anything that has to do with the exotic pet hobby, we'll be talking about on this podcast. I'm going to try and upload at least once a week. It'll be on my YouTube channel, The Exotic Pet Collective. This will also be on pretty much any podcast platform that you know, listen to your podcasts on. You'll be able to find it, The Exotic Pet Community. That's not the name, The Exotic Pet Collective. And if you just want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with me and, you know, with the Tarantula Collective and the Exotic Pet Collective, just head to my website, thetarantulacollective.com. You know, pick up some merch, check out other YouTube channels, check out other podcasts and magazines and all the things I've been going over and over again for the past 45 minutes. So thank you all for listening, and I appreciate your support, and I hope you come back for the next episode. We'll see you later. I really got to figure out a good way to end this podcast.